Our sermon today is based on a reading from Mark chapter 7, verses 32 through 37. They brought to him, to Jesus, a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Dear God, open our ears to the beauty of your word today. All throughout the Gospels, we come across words in Aramaic that the writer uses and immediately translates for us. Aramaic was the common language of Judea in Jesus' time. Earlier this year, we learned about the phrase Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. These are the words Jesus spoke when he resuscitated Jairus' 12-year-old daughter who had died. Next year, we'll look at some more of these words, but today we'll look at Ephphatha, for the letter E in our Through the New Testament Z through A series. I like all the Jesus healing stories that are scattered throughout the New Testament, and this one is a double heal deal. A deaf man's friends brought him to Jesus and asked him to lay his hand on him. Obviously, they had heard Jesus performed healing miracles by simply putting his hands on a person, or maybe they'd even seen such an event themselves and immediately decided they wanted their friend to benefit from such a blessing. Shout out to all of them and their loving concern. It may be that the man was not born deaf. The scripture says he had a speech impediment, so he couldn't talk properly. I worked with a man like that in the cafeteria at my college. Jesse was the head chef. He was deaf, but when he got mad, he could make a lot of noise. Unintelligible, but he got his point across. I always think about Jesse whenever I read the scripture, and I'll tell you why in a minute. There are two things that stand out in this scripture. First, when the friends brought the deaf man to him, Jesus took him aside. He didn't do a big, splashy public healing in front of everyone right away. Well, that was never Jesus' style anyway. He led the man aside to heal him in private. I suspect Jesus thought it would be better if the man's newly opened ears weren't immediately pained by his friend's inevitable shouts of joy. Give him some space to get used to being able to hear. We may crinkle our noses at the idea of Jesus using spit to heal, even his own sacred saliva, but he used it on another occasion to make a paste to cure a blind man's eyes. The second thing that stands out is that deep, deep sigh Jesus let out. What was that about? Was he sighing because he was tired of healing people? Perish that thought. That was what he had come to earth to do, to reach out and touch people and heal all their illnesses and infirmities. Some commentators say he sighed because of his weariness over evilness and disease, over the physical bondage people endured. He wasn't irritated at the people who were afflicted themselves. He was irritated at the afflictions. Some say he was sad about imperfect human nature and all its miseries. Was he sighing because it was hard to heal this man? No, it was never hard for him to heal. Notice how he looked up to heaven before he said, Ephphatha. It's as if he was cementing the connection he had with God, asking God to be with him in this miraculous moment, asserting that his power came from above. Jesus always acknowledged his heavenly Father in everything he did, never diverting the glory and honor to his own self, but solely rendering it to God. Was he thinking of the words from Isaiah's prophecy that we heard, that the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the tongue of the speechless will sing for joy? Surely Jesus was glad to be part of this fulfillment of holy promises. So why did he sigh? As I said, I always think of Jesse when I read this scripture. Being deaf was extremely frustrating for him. I know he knew sign language, but few of us who worked with him did. We resorted to making gestures and pointing and writing notes to him. One day I saw on his desk a note Jesse had written to himself. Jesse hates his death. That made my heart so sad. Yeah, he was missing out on hearing things like birds singing and music and waterfalls and children laughing. But on the other hand, he never had to hear someone shouting at him in anger or cursing at him or putting someone else down. And that's why I think Jesus sighed. He knew all the things this man was missing out on, some of it good, some of it bad. Jesus unstopped his ears even as he thought, "My friend, you will be able to hear now, but you're going to hear things you don't want to hear. You're going to hear birds singing and children laughing and maybe a woman saying, 'I love you.' But you're also going to hear angry shouts and curses and hateful words." Would he succumb to the lure of itching ears? Paul warned of this malady in 2 Timothy, long after this healing, of course. He wrote, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths." Jesus loosened the man's tongue and thought, "My friend, you're going to be able to speak now, but you're going to say things you don't want to say and things you shouldn't say. You're going to sing and praise God and tell people hello, and maybe you will say to a woman, 'I love you,' but you're also going to say mean things and call people's names and curse. It was a dilemma even for Jesus. Let the man stay in his innocent state or heal him and let him face the consequences. How would he use this blessing? Now his tongue was unbound and he could speak loudly and clearly. Would he say good things, nice things, affirming things? James wrote, long after this, of course, "No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes a blessing and a curse." What would he turn his tongue to? What would he tune his ear to? Would he listen to people who spoke encouragingly or to people who spoke disparagingly? Would he listen to lies and distorted facts and rabble, or would he listen to words that affirmed and informed and infirmed and taught and uplifted? He would be responsible from now on for what he said and what he listened to. It was up to him to guard his tongue and guard his ears as well. Isaiah also had another plea. "Make the mind of this people dull, stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Some of his fellow prophets had a real problem with people who could hear but who couldn't listen. People, as Jeremiah said, who had ears to hear but didn't hear. There's a difference. You can hear sounds, but you have to understand what you listen to. Jesus could make this man hear, but it was up to the healed man to listen. Yet knowing all this, Jesus still healed the man, because he who is our hope had hope. Jesus didn't put conditions on the cure. The man's listenings were open. He could hear and he could understand. Jesus could only hope the man's gratitude would make him ever aware of how he listened, who he listened to, and how he spoke and what he said. There's another part of this miracle to consider. Jesus once again brought an outcast, an outsider, into the loop. He restored this man to his community. Before, he stood on the sidelines, unable to hear, unable to participate, unable to share his thoughts and opinions. Now, Ephatha. Now he can go into the community and be part of it. Now he can listen to others' ideas and thoughts and share his own plans and dreams. Ephatha. It's a command. Open up. Don't let this man be closed off anymore. It's always funny to read that after Jesus did a healing, he often told the newly healed person, "Don't tell anyone." He did that here. Jesus restored the man's speech and then told him to be quiet about it. "Don't tell anyone," the formerly deaf man must have thought or even said. "You have just unloosed my tongue. You have just unstopped my ears. Why wouldn't I go around and tell people about it? Am I supposed to pretend I can't hear anymore? Am I supposed to pretend I can't speak anymore? How could you not tell? Wouldn't you want to go around shouting, 'I can hear, I can speak'? Wouldn't you want to go around shouting, 'Oh, praise God'? As the scripture says, The more Jesus told people not to say anything, the more they proclaimed what he had done. There was no stopping them, and no going back to being deaf and mute. Jesus' healings never reneged. They were good to go forever. They were never partial or halfway, one ear opened, one eye opened. They were complete and total healing. And the healed appendages, ears, arms, eyes, hands, never went back to what they had been before. That's certainly praiseworthy. People who witnessed the healings believed the Isaiah prophecy we heard earlier was coming to pass right before their very eyes. Who wouldn't want to shout about that? Who wouldn't want to praise God for keeping such a powerful promise? They were excited and they were delighted, astounded beyond measure, asserting Jesus does everything well. Yes, indeed he does. Ephphatha. It's kind of a nice word that rolls off your tongue. It's a word of power too. Ephphatha. One word, one simple word changed a man's life. Did Jesus shout it or did he whisper it? Be opened. And not just ears. Ephphatha, be opened eyes and minds and hands and hearts. Be open to all the possibilities that Jesus Christ places before us. Be open to more miracles. Be open to increased insight. Be opened to the responsibility that's entailed and entwined in following Jesus. Let's not let Jesus' command, Ephphatha, be left or lost in the past. May we turn to him to open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hands, open our hearts to all the promises God has made and that Jesus will fulfill, to the work God gave to Jesus and is now passed down to us. And let us never go back to being blind, deaf, and mute, ignorant of the power of God, indifferent to the voice of the Savior. Now our tongues are loosed so that we may ever and always praise our God and the healing hand of the Savior he has sent to us. As Jesus himself often said, if you have ears to hear, then hear, Ephphatha. Let us pray. For the stories of healing we read in your word, God, we are thankful. We are thankful because we know through the power you have given Christ, such miracles can be ours too. Unloose our tongues to praise you and affirm and encourage our brothers and sisters all around us. Thank you for hearing us and healing us and leading us to your kingdom. Amen. Thank you.